Is it Jason? Is it everybody's favorite?
Yes, everyone's.
Everybody.
No, what about that guy over there?
No, I don't think he likes it.
He doesn't like anything. Yeah, that D-bag. Welcome to One More Podcastle, episode 81. I'm your host and resident Canadian Jason Lamb, and I'm back from the dead.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I go storming through a party like my name is El Nino.
I am Tom Hall. I'm the N64 connoisseur. I'm two decades late to the Super Nintendo, and I framed Roger Rabbit.
What did you frame him for?
I was bored.
No, what
he just
was
had the weekend off and
just decided to... What was his crime?
Having long ears in a short ear zone.
That is a heinous crime.
Yes, and he's paying for it dearly. As
he's
he
dead,
should.
Right? So,
yeah. Did you use the paint thinner, like in the movie?
I did. Yes, I did. But really, it was all about Jessica.
Well, yeah, Jessica Rabbit, you killing me?
Can't
it's always it. About Jessica.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Good old Jessica Rabbit. Man. Something else.
Yep.
Something else.
How about you, El Nino?
What about me? I didn't... What's going
on? How many parties you bust through?
Just the one.
Just
it
the
was
one?
Mine. Oh. Yeah, I was by myself.
It was a slow
Nobody
day.
Came.
Yeah. That sounds depressing. It sounds like a drunk. That sounds like a drunken rampage more than a party.
I've had those parties like fairly recently, actually, where it's like, oh yeah, I'll be over there, cool. And then like the weather's just a little bit bad, and they're like, oh, I don't know, if I can make it to the east side of Cincinnati. The weather's kind of bad. I got to cross the river, and gosh, I'm not gonna be able to make it. So it was just. Literally me and my wife, and I'm just getting belligerently drunk. She's just making sure I don't break shit as I tumble through the house. Greatest party ever.
That sounds awesome.
That does. I wish I was there, but, you know, the weather.
Canada.
Yeah. Crossing the river. Gosh forbid. So Jason's here. Bailey is not.
No, he's dead now.
Yep.
Okay, that's, yeah.
I pulled a zombie. I came back. I killed him in revenge.
Nice. Very
and,
nice.
And here I am.
And I'm making my 11th appearance.
Is this really your 11th?
I have no idea. You lose count after 20.
It hasn't been 20, has
no.
it? Okay.
No, I was
going
to
say, that's a large percentage of our podcast.
It's probably like 5, I'd say, maybe.
Well, I think at the end of one episode, this was weeks ago, like all me, Jason, and Bailey were like, let's see, I think I've missed like 10, and I think he's missed 8. It's like all of us, we've missed like 25% of the show.
You guys are lax in your duties as hosts of this podcast.
I know. It's like, man, the advertisers are going to be pissed.
Pepsi is not going to like this.
Pepsi's going to be pissed.
They are going to be mad.
Oh, God.
But that's okay.
Yeah, whatever.
You can find our sponsors.
They signed the contract.
Yeah. We get the money regardless.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a one and done. It was a one and done.
Perhaps you can get sponsored by Bagged Milk.
Ooh. Yeah. I hear it's a delicious.
Yeah. Grab a bag today.
I heard it was... No, that's not...
Yeah. I will not.
Not the marketing slogan you want to go with.
If you're lucky enough, you can bag your own milk.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Which is even worse because, like, I grew up on a farm. So
really?
Any kind of milk, yeah. So any kind of milk that doesn't come out of a jug, I want nothing to do with. Like, absolutely nothing.
When they bring it here, they're going to, like, put udder spouts on the end of the bag. Drink it straight from the tap.
Yummy.
So what have you guys been playing?
Hey, back on track. Fantastic.
I have been playing video pinball on the Atari 2600.
Ooh, how was
that? That is such a fun game.
It is. See, I've got a stack of Atari 2600 games. Like, first of all, I got my Atari 2600 from none other than Eric M. Hunter. Hooks a brother up.
Yeah.
That was me.
Need.
Totally did that.
Yeah. And I can't remember. I think video pinball was one of the things you packaged in with it. I can't remember.
If not, I don't know. I gave you all my dupes. I know that.
Yeah, but who can remember if that was one of them now? But either way, I made sure I had this. Like, I have a stack of them, and this is the only one I ever play. And it's just so much fun. It's got crazy, awesome Atari-ish sound effects. The ball is square because it's the Atari 2600. It doesn't in any way look like a pinball table, but it's still very pinball.
Nice.
I was like, it's really kind of also amazing how they made amazing use of the joystick with one button.
Right.
It's like move left or right to flip one fin, push up and flip them both, and like you can even, I think if you hold the button and move the stick, it like jostles the table, and then you can tilt, which is, you know, not so bueno. But good times if you have an Atari 2600. Or know someone who does. Highly recommend video pinball.
I think the ball being square was a design choice.
No.
Like, I can see two guys sitting around the screen. I was like, you know, we got enough pixels that we can take out the corners to make it look at least kind of like a ball. And, like, one guy was like, no. Square ball.
Square ball.
That's what we're going for.
There are three ways to do this.
That's what we're known for.
My way, and my way. And it's going to be a square ball. At least that's how we
Yeah, it's either a square ball, a round ball, or no ball. What do you guys want to do?
No ball. That would be even better.
Just no ball whatsoever?
One of the modes is no ball. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just randomly hitting the flippers, and things are happening.
And suddenly I'm getting points.
Huzzah! But what else? I played some Sonic 1.
Oh.
On
like
the 3DS.
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yes. No, Sonic the Fast Food Chain.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did you do?
I got,
did you lose money? That's usually what happens when you play Sonic the Food Chain. You
and
lose
integrity.
Money. That's right.
No,
you bring me my food in my car. That's how this works.
It doesn't at my Sonic, because that's far too slow. Nobody's got time for that.
Oh,
that's
wow, really?
Neither here nor there, though. But they've been releasing piece by piece on the 3DS some old school games in 3D. And I kind of wanted to see what that noise was about. So, picked up Sonic, and pretty much what they do is they make the background, like, 3D.
Okay.
So, it adds depth. Not the game is still as if you remember it. But the controls are a little bit strange. Like, Start doesn't do what you think Start does. Instead, X does what Start should do.
Oh.
Like, it's very bizarre and off-putting.
So, have they not mapped the controls properly, or was
they
it
have
like that
not.
Originally? That's weird.
Well, no, I mean, because it's not set up like a, you know, like a Genesis controller to begin with, so it's never going to be mapped how you think it should be, but, I mean, B and A are, you know, jump and spin, so, like, that works out fine, but it's just weird until you get used to it. And the other thing is, the other emulator things you can get, like, from the Virtual Console, no matter what else you do, they save where you were at. And this doesn't. So it's like a...
Really?
Yeah, you run through, or you do not.
Huh.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, but it's still fun, because, you know, Sonic.
I would just load up my Genesis and just play it on there.
Yeah, well, I could do that too, but not in the break room at work.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, like, really, Tom?
You could find a way.
Really?
Oh, no,
Come on.
No, we do have a TV and a Wii there. But I'm not bringing my Genesis there. People put their grimy hands all over the controller. Nope.
Nice. Grimy hands.
Nice.
Grimy hands.
Cool, man. So don't get any of the 3D Sega games, because I was looking into those as well. And because the videos don't show you jack.
Right. Well,
you know
can't.
What I mean? Sure they can.
Yeah,
well,
they can put up a 3D video.
3D. But all it is just the backgrounds have depth, so now you like trees look like they're in the distance. And it's like 2.5D because the game is still the 2D side scroller, you know.
Right.
So
yeah. That makes sense.
Yep. So that's me. That's
what have you been playing, Hunter?
I just started playing through my rampant collection of Resident Evil games that I picked up for the GameCube. I have all of them now.
Nice.
So I started with, what?
That's the remakes, right? And 4?
Yeah, well, I got 4 on PlayStation 2.
Okay.
So, I didn't see the point in getting that on GameCube, but yeah, I got like 0, 1, 2, 3, Code Veronica. So I started with 0, and it's been so long since I played a Resident Evil game that I forget some of the things that drive me absolutely insane with an adventure game. So there's, so I like, I just started the game and I'm already at, like, at qualms with it. Like it's already like pushing back on me, and it's like, I think ideally Capcom thought, okay, if you're going to play Resident Evil Zero, you've probably played other Resident Evil games before, so you kind of understand how things are supposed to go. So there's technically no introductory level. Like, they don't really kind of walk you into how the controls work too much. You know, it's like a very quick, like, okay, so now you've got two characters. You can switch between two characters. If you want to do that, press this button. If you're in the options, you can transfer items. If you want to do that, press these buttons. Okay, you good? All right, fantastic. Have fun. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll just rummage around until something catches my eye, you know, which is fine. I like to explore. I am an explorer. And I've got, unlike
Christopher Columbus.
Correct. Fair enough. I was going to say a joke, and then I completely forgot what it was. So I'm just going to continue like nothing ever happened. Anywho, so
genocide and all.
I'm playing through, you know, you're on a train, you're fighting zombies, you have a mass amount of ammo, so it doesn't seem like it's that pervious to kind of hold your ammo as much as possible. So I'm popping zombies in the face left and right, having fun. And then I get to, like, what I would consider the first boss, because he's not a zombie. So I think he's probably something else. It ends up being a giant scorpion, which doesn't make any sense to me, because I'm on a moving train with zombies, and a scorpion, a giant scorpion, comes crashing through the ceiling.
That's the natural habitat of the giant scorpion.
Is the is an old-timey moving train.
Trains. Read a book, Hunter.
Right.
That's why we stopped building old-timey trains.
There you go.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
So the scorpion comes down. I pull my pistol. I can't. It's one of those weird camera angles where you can just see your character in the door, but you can't see what you're shooting at. So also here is pating, pating, like bullets are being deflected. And I was like, oh, so my pistol doesn't work. That's weird. Well, luckily, I saw a giant shotgun in the other room. So I'm just going to run in there and grab the shotgun, grab all the shotgun shells. And I come back, you know, scorpion's there ready to pounce. And I start unloading on him with the shotgun. And there's pieces of his shell, like, come flying off. And I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, I'm blowing this thing to smithereens. I go through every single one of my shells. So I have no shotgun, and the pistol doesn't work, but I have a combat knife. Now, so this combat knife is not a Crocodile Dundee. Now that's a knife, okay? Like, it's a pretty big knife, but it's not like a machete, okay? So I'm like, well, this is all I have, and I can't go back any farther. I have to proceed through this area, so I have to kill the scorpion. I can't go around him. So I'm like, screw it, I got my knife. The knife does the most damage.
What?
That makes no sense to me.
That pisses me off in every single game they do that.
It's like, how am I supposed to figure that out? Like, they only gave me so many shotgun shells because they knew, okay, well, we're only going to give you 8, and it's going to take 9 to kill this thing, so you're not going to be able to do it. So now it's like, I kill this thing with my hunting knife, and now I'm like, well, I completely wasted that shotgun. I can't go back. You know, I guess I could, but, I mean, there's only one safe spot. You only get so many damn ink ribbons, so it's like, you don't want to waste them, you know?
Oh, right, they have limited saving as well.
Yeah, so it's like, I feel completely cheated, because I didn't think to use my combat knife to take out a giant scorpion.
I think that's on you.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting. It's very upsetting.
It's because you haven't fought a giant scorpion in real life, and so you weren't sure how to handle it.
It's natural predator. It's the hunting knife. Not a very big knife.
Yes.
But, you know, big enough than a butter knife.
Yeah, the thing you would use to open one of those, like, really tough plastic packages.
Right. Like, it reminds me of the knife in Hot Shots Part 2, when he slams it into the Coke machine, the Coke can, and then pops open the top and a little straw comes out, it's that knife. If you have any idea what I'm talking about, that is the knife.
Yes.
It's the only way I can describe it.
It's not like a dagger or a saber. It is a tiny...
It's a tiny knife.
Tiny knife.
So, that's so yeah. Awful. I mean, my plan is to play through all of the Resident Evil games that I've got on the GameCube. That's my plan. I really don't think it's going to work out, though, because like, I'm already frustrated. Because it's like, now I feel like I've wasted that shotgun and those shotgun shells. Will I find more shotgun shells? Probably. But do I want to find them? No. Because I already knew that I wasted them on the stupid scorpion.
There's going to be something later on where you're going to need those shotgun shells now.
And right, and Rebecca's going to be like, you don't have the shotgun? Yep. I'm thinking, listen, bitch. That scorpion should have went down.
Never sass Eric Hunter.
Jason, what have you been playing?
Speaking of games that don't have unlimited saves, I went back and tried to play more of Daikatana.
Daikatana. Yes, Daikatana. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the John Romero crap fest that was delayed.
It took forever to come out.
Yeah.
Are you playing it on PC or N64?
Yeah, I got it through Steam. Yeah.
So you paid money for it.
I paid money for it.
God forbid.
Thank you, Steam sales. So it's probably not worth the $2 I paid. Again,
it is pretty bad from what I remember. Yeah, I got it on the 64, I think.
I've spent an hour in game, and the only thing I've really fought so far are robot frogs and robot dragonflies,
and the urge to vomit.
There's limited saves if on save crystals. The problem is, based on the first-person shooter genre, I tend to like to run around and get through levels blasting my way through. That leaves little time for me to stop and go, oh, where's that save crystal hidden?
Right.
So I'm assuming I've missed one, so I went what I can only guess is halfway through the third or fourth level, died, and then had to start from the beginning.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, which... On the game, I've spent 20 minutes wandering through this level, you die, you start again, you're pretty pissed off, so.
Yeah.
Stop playing that again. And then, I've been watching Deep Space Nine on Netflix, so I decided to try Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Crossroads of Time, for the Sega Genesis.
Wow.
Yes. It's a action-adventure game.
It's a really long title.
Yes, it is. It's an action-adventure game where it varies from... Well, it's a cinematic platformer. There's levels where you're basically just wandering around kind of doing Star Trek things like, hey, let's solve that mystery with this random piece of technology I found. And then there's levels where you're fighting. They're never really mixed. It's honestly not good. It's really slow and really awkward.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it.
So it's a Star Trek game.
Yeah. It's been a bad week for retro gaming.
Well, I think I think that's one of the plagues with Star Trek games, because there's not... You can't really have, like, an action-packed Star Trek game, can you?
I don't...
Sure, why not?
You could, but it would just wouldn't be very Star Trek-esque.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you create a fast-paced, fun, exciting game based on Star Trek that holds the same values as the TV show?
Yeah, the only way I could see you could do it is if you, like, a space combat game or...
Like Star Trek Online?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, that game, well, I mean, that series was probably more suited to the RPG.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. Have they ever done that, though?
I don't know. They did an action shooter off the last movie. That was supposedly horrid, where you were both Kirk and Spock, but did not follow any sort of really much of anything.
Well, that's good. I mean, if you're definitely going to take a brand, a property like that, the last thing you want to do is follow it.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's preposterous. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's
ludicrous. Even
I don't even know who would be okay with that. Like, I don't. Like, if I pick up Batman Returns, I don't want to play the movie. What?
No, that's ridiculous.
Preposterous. Preposterous? Preposterous?
Yeah. Preposterous. Yeah, preposterous.
Words.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of been, it's kind of lame this week.
It's really lame.
Sonic Boom!
Speaking of lame.
Wow, good job, Jason.
Thanks. We've got a listener discussion email, which is not lame.
No, those are very cool.
Yes. They're outstanding.
You guys should send us more. Okay, this is the discussion question. What are your preferences regarding gaming screens for your retro gaming consoles? Are you a cathode ray tube purist? Or do you commit the retro gaming sacrilege of actually enjoying old games on modern flat screens? Side note, I do. How about connections? Composite, component, S-video, RGB? Are the differences when hooking up retro consoles actually as big as people make them out? I have memories of reading an ancient EGM that claimed playing Batman for the Sega Genesis was a fundamentally different experience with an S-video connection versus a standard composite one. At the time, just the thought of those dark pixels being ever so slightly less blurry led me to anticipatory glee. As retro gamers, do you find yourselves wishing for the opposite these days? Is it more fun with less definition? Is there beauty to be found in the indistinct? So do you guys prefer an old cathode ray tube TV to, say, hooking up your Genesis to your HD TV?
Well, I've got everything hooked up to my HD TV. The really nice thing it does is no scan lines, because who needs that? I mean, that was what we played with, because that was what we had.
Yeah.
But now I can enjoy those exact same games, but see what's going on a little better. I'm down with that. You know, and as far as the S-video versus composite versus RCA versus RF, there are differences. I don't think they're, like, breathtaking differences. Like, the first time you went from RCA to, like, HDMI. But, you know, they're yeah, there.
There are differences.
There's differences. But not enough for me to really prefer one over the other. If I have available to me the better connection, I will. But I'll use it. But based for me on just the sheer amount of consoles I have hooked up to my TV, I have mostly AV cables. I'll set up, you know, red, white, yellows. Cool. Because I have the system selector. So everybody in, one out.
Nice.
Switches automatically, and everything looks fine on my HD, so I like it. The only thing, of course, I miss is, like, light gun games.
Yeah, you can't do that without.
No, and that's the, that would be my one thing to probably lead me at some point to, you know, go find a tube somewhere and pick it up, just to experience that again. Get some Virtua Cop in, some Duck Hunt, some Hogan's Alley.
Nice. But,
yeah.
No, I feel the same way. Like, well, no, I take that back. I don't feel the same way as you at all, Tom. I'm not a purist when it comes to having a tube TV. I have everything hooked up to my tube TV, provided that if it does have an HDMI cable, it will be on HD TV. But right now, the only consoles that are on my HD TV are my Wii U and my Ouya. So that's, everything else is on my tube TV downstairs, and it is because of light gun games. Like, that I need a tube TV, because if I don't have that, I know for a fact that I can't play light gun games. And if I can't play light gun games, then why would I put them on an HD TV or, like, a flat screen? Like, why would I do that? Like, I even got, like, I dropped my tube TV, like, really bad one day when I was moving, and I got so nervous that I forced a coworker to sell me his old tube TV that is now currently sitting in my garage on the chance that my tube TV finally does go out. I've got a backup, you know?
Nice.
But it's like little things. Like, I'm fine with the Genesis, like, by using the AV cables. I'm fine with those. Like, I actually prefer the toaster NES to the top loader, because I can use AV cables, whereas with the top loader, you can. It's only coaxial cable. Like, I can't, it's the coaxial cable that I can't stand because of the how awful the scan lines are. Like, they're a lot more prevalent than using AV cables. And I'm fine with that. Like, I've seen mods on Genesis ones where they've put in, like, composite and component cable. Like, that stuff's really cool. But I can't remember the last time I played a video game where better graphics made the game better. So I don't care. Like, I just want it to work.
Fair enough. This leads me to
there you go.
This leads me to the second part. The second part of the question is, for me. And it goes, caveat, I realize this discussion may leave little for Jason to add. Emulating on HDMI versus VGA? Hardly gets the pulse pounding, eh? My proposal is this. Jason may instead choose to enlighten your listeners regarding the following culturally educational topics. So I'm going to go through them for you, because to be honest, I know crap about tube TVs and stuff. Everything's run through my computer systems, so here we go. Part 1. What is Kraft dinner? And what are its merits? Would one utilize a serviette while eating it? And why? Well, I just happen to have with me this lovely box of Kraft dinner.
Wow.
For those who don't know, Kraft dinner is in Canada per cap. Well, Canada is per capita the highest consumer of this delicious dinner. It is macaroni and cheese. Inside each box comes the macaroni with a package of cheese. Put in a pot, boil some water, maybe milk. Comes out delicious, gooey macaroni goodness. And a serviette is actually a napkin, for those who don't know. That's what we call it in some parts of Canada. It's also usually called that in the UK. Part 2. Does Jason power his current gaming rig with hydro? Can you explain this specifically Canadian form of conduction? In Canada, or at least southern Ontario where I live, we describe our electricity as hydro because most of our energy comes from hydroelectric dams. We basically have so much water, we use it to power everything. And last, for what purpose would milk be stored and consumed in bags? Why is this at all acceptable? As we've explained before, it's better for the environment. And it's easier to recycle. And it's just damn good. So that's
it's just
it.
Milk, Jason.
That's coming. No, it's bagged milk. You have to experience it to...
The bag doesn't change the flavor, does it?
I've got to tell you, I'm a big fan of this idea, and I think you should have a new segment that's just called Ask a Canadian.
I should have, when we go to Indie PopCon, just a panel where it's just me answering questions about Canada.
Can we set up just the end of the table with, like, a little, like, thing over Jason that says, Ask a Canadian? Or, like, we can change it throughout the day. It could be, like, kiss a Canadian for a dollar.
Well, see, that was the thing, is it was going to be, like, the kissing booth.
Right.
But it would be, you know, ask a Canadian anything for a dollar. And, I'm sure...
We'd make bank.
Yeah. Probably would. So, we'd probably pay for the tickets, that's for sure.
That question was from Sam Manneberg. Thank you very much for asking that. And I'm glad you're
good
watching
stuff,
the podcast
Sam.
Right now. And I guess that takes us to everyone's favorite musical break.
Thank you.
Welcome back. That track was The Sewell Bleach Bones by Joseph Edison. You'll be able to find it on the official podcast page for download. Now, everyone's favorite part of the podcast, it's the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, each week we bring a number of games and we basically will spend a minute arguing the merits of the game. And then we go to a death match where we basically have to go, you know what? Hunter's games are never good.
What?
Those are the new rules. That's what happens when I'm in charge.
Oh, is that? Okay. Yeah.
He's trying right with power.
It. Yeah, I'm trying out my power. I'm going to abuse it when I can. All right. So to start us off, I guess I'll begin. This week, after watching so much Star Trek Deep Space Nine on Netflix, I decided to go back and look at the collection of Star Trek games for various consoles.
They're all bad, Jason.
Nope. Combing through them, looking at numerous crappy games like that Deep Space Nine one I played, I stumbled across A Diamond in the Rough. It's Star Trek, 25th anniversary for DOS. An adventure game. It was officially marketed as the fourth season of the original series. They even went as far as collecting the original cast to provide voiceovers for all the characters. Here's Spock, Sulu, Captain Kirk. The game's broken up into seven episodes where you lead this band of space explorers on their faithful Star Trek. A Star Trek 25th anniversary for DOS.
Still gonna guess that it's bad.
Nope.
Star Trek.
Are you ready, Hunter?
25th anniversary.
Yeah, man.
I'm ready.
All right. You may begin.
Not being a total fan of the genre, they have been slowly starting to grow on me. Missed out on the classic shmups such as R-Type, Life Force, Thunder Force as a child, and have been making my way back into the genre that used to taunt me as a kid. One in particular that was released on the Sega Genesis in 1990, it's Whip Rush 2222 AD. The 22nd century, and every planet in our solar system is drained of their natural resources. Journeying through space, they come across a planet that could support human life. Sadly, that planet is already inhabited, and we do what we humans do best. Kill those sons of bitches and take what's ours. After a botched attack, the aliens took to space to attack Earth in retaliation. Thankfully, one of the best pilots left to defend Earth and everything, known as the Whip Rush.
All right. So that was Whip Rush, Mystery of the Planet, Voltagus, Whip Rush 2222 AD, The Invasions of Voltagans.
2222 AD.
Oh, sorry. All right. Tom, are you ready?
How does one follow that? But yes, I'm super ready.
All right. You may begin.
Have you ever been sitting in gridlock, looking up at the traffic light and thinking, who's running this show? Surely I can do better than that. Well, you can put your money where your mouth is in the 1984 Commodore 64 classic, Traffic. That's right. Traffic has you controlling the entire traffic grid of London. You get to change the traffic lights from red to green and green to red as you attempt to get everybody to their destination safely and in a timely fashion. Become a king among men as you have the power in your hands to single-handedly make or break people's commutes. That's Traffic for the Commodore 64, released 1 year after me in 1984.
You're kidding me. Traffic?
Traffic.
Traffic.
Now, before we begin, I forgot something very important. I didn't announce the last winner.
You don't have to. It's no, no big deal.
No, we do. We have to announce it.
No, I'm excited to see.
Two episodes ago, the Retro Showdown theme was games we were better at as kids. And the winner is me.
Hey.
That's right. Shooting Gallery for DOS won over Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project, and
wow.
Super Spike V-Ball.
See, that's why we don't have to go over things like this.
So I'd like
He's the Canadian juggernaut.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for voting for Shooting Gallery, the de facto shooting gallery game of the shooting gallery genre.
I don't know.
Nope. Yep.
Nope.
Sorry.
Nope. Why does Hunter currently look like an early 90s music video?
I don't know.
Because you're welcome, that's why.
Oh, all right.
I will go back to being enhanced.
Yeah, that's more there. Like it. So, Hunter, were you not complaining quite early on that a game Jason was playing had a title that was far too long?
Yes.
I mean, because yours is going to take up most of the podcast page.
Yes.
That's not true. It's only Whiprush 2222 AD.
Or Whiprush, the Mystery of the Planet Voltagus, Whiprush 2222 AD, The Invasions of the Voltagians.
Right. But us fans of Whiprush just call it Whiprush.
Yeah, because nobody wants to say all those syllables. It's like, it takes more than one breath to say the name of your game.
Yeah. Was that bad?
Yes.
Oh.
Wait, why I have no idea what it's about.
Why is that? It's a shmup, man. That's all you need to know.
No.
Yes, it is.
If I just see that game, if I just see the name of that game, I don't know what it is. If I see Jason's game, Star Trek 25th Anniversary Edition, I know, oh, here's a game about Star Trek.
Yeah. Ah,
because see my game, Traffic, I know it's going to have something to do with traffic.
Yeah. I don't know what Whiprush means. Am I being rushed by whips?
That is because you yeah. are a fan of Star Trek. Correct?
I wouldn't have to be. I'm not a fan of Harry Potter. Yeah.
But
if I saw a game that said Harry Potter 25th Anniversary, I would know that it's about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Correct. But Whiprush was released at the pinnacle of when shoot 'em up games were the most popular. So if you were in the shoot 'em up fan craze, you would know exactly what Whiprush is. Exactly.
And the crowd goes wild.
Whiprush.
Did you at any point use a whip?
No, Whiprush is the name of the ship that you are piloting.
Oh, the whip?
Rush.
Is that like how the kids call their cars whips?
I've never heard anybody name a car whip, but
they do.
They do in 2222?
Maybe.
AD, of course.
AD, yeah.
Only while the Voltagians are invading.
Correct.
So what is a Voltagian?
It's an alien.
Does it have any kind of special powers?
They shoot bullets at you that you have to dodge.
But humans can do that.
Yeah.
Right, but these are alien bullets.
Mm. You know what I don't like about your game?
Anything?
Well, most things. But I'm watching a gameplay video here. Your ship is always facing a single direction.
It's
like a side scroller, yet bosses are scrolling vertically as if they're from a top view.
Okay.
So while you're looking at your ship from, say, the side, you're looking at the enemy boss as if you're looking down on his ship at the top of it.
Maybe.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I will admit that the boss perceptions are a little interesting, but that's as far as I will go.
You'll just deflect the question.
Well, no, I mean, you can say that they look like they're top down. Well, hell, I mean, you know, The Legend of Zelda looks like it's top down, but technically only Link is top down. Or no, Link's not even top down, and the whole rest of the game is isometric, so I mean, if you really want to get technical about it, we can. That's completely up to you.
Also, The Legend of Zelda is good.
Dude, Whiprush is a blasty blast.
Like, as in, I want to blast this cartridge with a shotgun?
No, like it's... Okay, so I've been very fearful of just shmup games in general, just because it's like... It's just that genre of games that... Like, I tried a couple of times when I was a kid, and I'm like, oh, I'm awful at these, and I just kind of steer-cleared them. But now, like, that I'm kind of getting back into them, like, I'm finding that they have a lot to offer. Like, what power-ups you get, because there's a wide variety of power-ups in the game, but what power-ups you get at what particular stage fighting what particular boss mean a ton. Now, the cool thing about this is a lot of it's all due to chance, because you only have a small amount of time to get said power-up and to wait until it's the right power-up that you need. So if you get the what would be considered the wrong power-up on a particular boss, you're set to your wits and being able to dodge firepower to take the boss down. Like, there's a lot of strategy to do with these games.
So the only way I can beat the boss is by chance?
Well, no, no. You can be really good. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of like Mega Man. Like, you can go in a very particular boss order to get this weapon, and you know it's going to defeat the next Robot Master. Well, in Whip Rush, it's kind of the same idea. Like, you get four different power-ups. Is it four? Yeah, four different power-ups. Like, if you get power-up A, we'll do better against boss in Section 1. But power-up B does better in boss in Section 2. So you have to know, you have to kind of plan. It's like chess, but with, like, a big gun that you're just blasting the shit out of everything.
I hope by chance I never play this game.
What? What? We want to play your crappy point-and-click game that takes place in Star Trek? Man.
Yeah.
Tom, it's a point-and-click game. It is a point-and-click game. And it's an awful point-and-click game. Like, there's no just,
it's
like, oh,
game. It's not a point-and-click game.
I've got medicine. Give to sick person. Okay.
Your characters aren't static. You move them around the environment.
That's why
voices.
I was moving my arms.
Original voice cast.
Point and click is just so.
You can listen to Spock talk about stuff.
Okay, so
I can watch the movies and or the TV show and hear Spock talk about stuff.
Come on,
come on.
Harry Mudd shows up.
Is he a Canadian porn star?
Harry Mudd.
I mean, oh, it is. I'm looking at screenshots now.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Because if I look at gameplay videos, it might actually crash the Hangout, but
don't do it. And it's not the video that will crash the Hangout. It is the awfulness that is spewing.
And it's like, out I of have this such high hopes for it immediately because I see that Interplay made it.
Yeah, it's a great Interplay adventure game.
No, it's Maniac Mansion, but worse and with Star Trek characters.
No.
How better. Is that better?
It's
really?
Like you've taken King's Quest, set it in space.
You're not selling me. King's Quest, no.
And made it amazing. And not anything like King's Quest.
So,
Star Trek.
It is point and click.
Why would I lie to you, Tom?
You're a known liar.
What? Says who? Says who?
I really grew up on everyone.
It was
really
highly did. Unbelievable.
But now.
But it's,
yeah, I think we really should be focusing our efforts on Traffic, the Traffic game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so good.
You know, part of me admires it.
I know. You can't resist. It's a simulation.
Oh, it's a sim game.
So what's the beauty of controlling traffic lights? Like, I understand what the premise is, but how is that entertaining? You know what I mean? Like, or is it just basing on the fact that it's a simulation game?
Well, I mean, you have to like simulation games, obviously. Yeah. But it's also got a bit of strategy to it, because if you look at any of the screenshots for it, you'll see they'll start to queue up off screen, like if you keep your light red too long. And if more than 5 queue, your game is over. So you got to keep the traffic a-moving. And like, for being a Commodore 64 game, there's actually, they've done some pretty cool things. Like, there's different sized vehicles. So, I mean, like, yes, they're all yellow, you know, rectangles.
Boxes, yeah.
There's, like, little thinner ones are motorcycles, and, like, longer ones are buses. But when they turn, like, before they turn, they actually have a blinker. And, like, half of the thing will blink which way it's going to turn. And so you have to plan for it, because sometimes they're going to turn against the flow of traffic, and they'll hold up everybody behind them.
So let me ask you a question.
Please.
Is there a way to turn all of the traffic lights off?
No.
Okay. Because that would solve your problem.
It would probably make a bigger problem.
Well, according to the driving laws, and at least in the state of Ohio, if there is no power to the traffic lights, the four-way intersection acts as a four-way stop where everybody takes a turn after coming to a complete stop. To me, that would fix all of your traffic issues.
Then why does anyone have traffic lights anywhere?
Yeah.
Because they're money that the state can take from you in your taxes to put towards things that don't matter?
They could take money from you in your taxes to put it towards anything they wanted.
Yeah, they wouldn't do traffic lights.
Also, are you familiar with the particular traffic laws of London?
I am not.
Yeah.
Will this teach? Wait. Here. So not only is this game a simulation, it's an edumentation game too?
Wow.
I'm learning as I play. Tom.
I can't hate it.
These up, no, Jason, the wrong direction. Come back to the light.
You know what? This would actually make a great phone game now.
Yeah, probably, it really would.
Nobody would play it.
I would.
Incorrect. Lots I of would people would play it.
Stick that you on your phone. You've got 10 minutes on the bus. Yeah, I'm gonna queue up some traffic.
Now, if it actually controlled the lights of the street you were on, yes, that would be awesome.
That would be illegal.
But this is going to be as addicting as Flappy Bird, and we don't need that.
I'll tell you a fun story about this game that may enhance your arguments. So, I don't know if you're looking at any gameplay video or screenshots or anything.
I'm all right. I know what the game is.
Well, I'm watching the video. If you happened to look, this might help the story. So, you'll notice that the red light is like very just so in how it looks. And it looks just like the little red light that shows up on those older digital alarm clocks that would show you that an alarm is on.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
So my dad used to play this thing religiously. And as legend has it, like one night, I guess he like half woke up and he saw that thing on. And he was like trying to change it to green. Trying to play it in his sleep. That's how much fun it is.
Nice.
Or is it like addicting, like Tetris, where people actually have disorders from seeing so many Tetris pieces fall?
You know, people make their own decisions, Hunter.
Yeah. You know what? I'd have a lot more fun
playing Whiprush? I agree.
No, hear me out. I'd rather deal with the rush of traffic than with a Whiprush.
Whiprush sounds like a horrible medical condition.
It does.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's awful.
You're
I don't
welcome.
I want a medical condition. I want to play a game.
It's an action-packed game. Dude, it like not only like are you in space and on land, but you go underwater and like it affects your ship. That was the coolest thing that kind of blew me away. Because you have a speed bar, so you can control how fast you move back and forth. But when you go underwater, you completely slow down because that's what water does when you get in it.
A water level in a video game? Tell me more.
Everyone loves those.
That affects
those are the best. That
affects you when you go into water? Yeah, dude, super cool. Like, completely blew me away.
I know, like, that doesn't happen in Sonic or Mario. You're slowing down.
Right.
Or any other game ever with water in it.
Well, I mean, like, in terms of, like, shoot-em-up games. I mean, that most shoot-em-up...
You know how much people love the Water Temple in Ocarina of Time?
It's not that bad. I don't know why people.
Actually wrote a whole.
No, I know. But like,
castle about that very topic.
Here's the one thing that you can break down the water temple. Oh, wait, there's a key underneath the staircase that I didn't think to go look. Yeah, that's your fault. That's your fault for not exploring the game enough. That's the only thing that's bad about the water temple is they put the key in a not very familiar place where you wouldn't expect the key to be. Not that big a deal. Get over it. Get over it. Just get over it.
Choir on the Water Temple. I'm a Water Temple fan.
And let's face it, Ocarina of Time, not that great a game.
Ooh, shots fired, huh?
Yeah, that's you're going to lose votes just for that.
It's no Whiprush, but I guess it gets the job done.
All right, that's fine. I'll take that. That's okay. damn you, Tom. Oh, man.
Why cause harm to other beings with shoot 'em up bullets and all that jazz when you could actually be productive to society and assist with the flow of traffic?
Because it's a challenge.
Right, and so is controlling the entire traffic grid
for London,
England.
The entire traffic grid of London, England consists of 5 intersections?
At the beginning.
Yeah. It was London back in the day when they were just putting cars in.
Remember, this game came out in 84.
Yeah, that's practically prehistoric.
Traffic lights have been around forever.
I wasn't born in 84.
Well, I mean, I wasn't born in 84 either.
See,
but
you don't know what it was like before we were born.
Right, and I'm an old man. I was born in 83, and I gotta tell you, there was not one traffic light anywhere.
Damn.
I don't believe any of this.
Well, you weren't around. What do you know?
I've got the Wayback Machine that I could jump into. It's called the Internet.
Oh, no, that's all made up. Like the moon landing.
That I could talk to you about. God, that's you mean the alleged moon landing? Yeah.
Wink.
Oh, yeah. Traffic.
did not think I was going to stumble onto like one of Hunter's conspiracy theory buttons.
Oh man, like that's one of the great things that my dad has passed down to me as a child is like he's one of those guys where it's like question everything, don't trust authority, don't trust everything that you read. You know, and like half the shit that comes out of his mouth is bonkers. I'm not even kidding. Like some of the stuff, it's like, come on, Pop. Like really? I know Santa Claus doesn't exist, but you're gonna give me this line of, you know, come on. Like, but like some of the stuff is like so interesting to talk about. Like it's mind boggling. Like
Hunter
the moon
has cash
landing.
In the walls.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I punch holes in my wall, I find turkey. That's all I'm gonna say.
Jason, we should probably go over to Hunter's house.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, you never know what you'll find in there. Boom! Maybe a bag of milk.
Yeah. Ooh.
No bags of milk in the Hunter household.
I should somehow bring bagged milk down to Indie PopCon.
If you would have to figure out a way to keep it cold.
It wouldn't pass through customs.
Security.
Sir, can you unzip your bag? What is this? Oh, it's a bag of milk. A bag of what? Milk doesn't come in bags. Silly, silly foreigner.
Well, no, I mean, he'd be getting on the plane in Canada, so they'd be cool with it.
Yeah. So when I land and they frisk me.
You have
me.
To go through customs?
Oh, yeah.
Really? You're
oh,
just
yeah.
coming here.
Oh, God, it's painful.
You're just you guys, coming really? To America, no big deal.
Yeah, you but he's coming here from Canada. What is he going to bring with him?
I don't know. You have the worst customs I've ever dealt with.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, but crazy. Speaking of customs... What's your final arguments?
Here's my final argument. Whiprush. Very exciting, white-knuckled tight gameplay that can be enjoyed by all who play it.
All right. How about you, Tom?
Oh, Traffic. The Commodore 64 classic is a master simulation game, and it kind of gives you a perspective when you're stuck in rush hour traffic, that maybe it's just not as easy as you think. It's a game that can make us all think about ourselves to become a better person. That's Traffic on the Commodore 64.
Unbelievable.
Your vote this week.
Right. Well, my game was Star Trek 25th Anniversary. And you should vote for it because original voice cast, doing all the voices, awesome. Star Trek.
Yeah, but it's a point and click. So
no, it's beautiful.
It is a point and click.
It'll point and click its way to your heart.
It can point and click its way to hell.
And there you go.
All right. Do you guys have any shoutouts you want to do, Hunter?
What's going on? Sorry, I completely.
Do you want? You son of a. Do you have any shoutouts you want to do?
Oh, hey, shoutouts. So you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is iamericm.com. Let's see. We're going to be at Indie PopCon. We got Review a Great Game Day on April 8th. What am I missing, Jason?
Review a Great Game Day, Indie PopCon. We got a new website design up. Andrew created it. You haven't checked it out.
Yeah, it's super sweet.
It's beautiful.
Did you thank Ben Landis?
Yes, and Ben Landis, of course, always for our intro music.
Correct.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
All right, Tom, what's your shout-outs?
You can follow me on Twitter at Ocarina of Tom. I do contribute right here at OneMoreCastle.com biweekly. I also contribute at OfficialVGHC.com, where I'm also the editor-in-chief, and where Hunter and I do another podcast called Breaking Bits. That is a biweekly podcast you can jam in your ear holes. My personal website is ocarinaoftom.com. It is moving shortly, but no worries. You can still go there because I'm just going to redirect the URL when the other site is live.
Yay!
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'll give a shout out to Eric Bailey for not being here and allowing us to have this off the rails podcast.
Oh, yes. I'll also like to give a shout out to Eric Bailey for not being here so I can be.
There we go. Yes, and again, thank you, Tom, very much for agreeing to do the podcast.
Thanks, Tom.
Great of you on such last-minute notice.
Oh, you're welcome. You know what's funny? Of all of the times I've actually done these guest host bits. It's never been with more than like a day's notice. No.
It's usually how it works.
Yeah, the sad part is we've known about Eric being gone for weeks now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like your booty call.
And we'll keep calling you back.
Yeah. Every other Sunday morning time, I'll be calling.
All right.
All right, so that's the one more podcastle. Tune in next week. I won't be here, unfortunately, again. I'm stuck at work, so you'll have a...
What?
You knew about this Hunters in an email. So we'll have another mystery guest. Maybe Tom again? I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to Eric and Eric.
I look forward to a 5 p.m. direct message.
Yeah, well...
It's just like a nudge, like, psst, Tom! Tom, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like, my mom's asleep. Come over.
You got to come through the window, though. Bring your video games.
Yep.
I got chips and Canadian porn.
Oh, yeah.
And milk in a bag.
Milk in a bag.
Oh, man. Also, dirty in that context.
A side note, do not Google Canadian milk bags.
No.
That's a terrible idea.
Yes.
I know. Don't ask me why I know, but I know.
Nice.
All right, that's the one more podcast. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. Have a good night.